You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power Radio Program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men, women of valor. We thank God for you. This is Kingdom Sounds, a radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise. We thank God for you on today, this Monday. I have an awesome man of God. I've been knowing him for a while. You know, I think I used to beat him up and take his lunch money. Nah, just joking. But I
used to cut my nappy hair when I was a kid.
Oh, stop telling my age now.
You both look good, sir. It's okay. Go ahead.
But we're going to have a great time today, praise God. We're going to deal with now faith. I believe the man of God is going to be dealing with now faith. And so I'm looking forward to that. I want to give a shout out to my wonderful wife of 33 plus years, Teresa Robinson, Pastor Teresa Robinson. Awesome woman of God. Amen. We thank God for the work that she's doing at Victory International Praise. Also to people of God at Victory that are listening in to the radio broadcast, and the people throughout Brevard County, we thank God for you listening in Mims and Titusville and Satellite and Melbourne, Palm Bay, Melbourne Beach, Ugalle. We thank God for you listening in. All right, how you doing, man of God?
I am doing wonderful. Outstanding, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, well, you ready to get rolling?
Yeah, sure. Let's pray for a second. You know, okay. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 verses 1, 2, and 3, we know what he says. You know, I pray therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then the second verse he says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to prove that God's word is good, acceptable, and perfect. Yeah. And the emphasis, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you'll be able to prove, which means we as believers are supposed to be able to prove this stuff.
That's good.
We're supposed to be able to prove it, but it doesn't happen until your mind is transformed.
That's good.
You know, your mind's got to be renewed. The whole reason why God sent his word is to change our thinking. You know, it does. You know, we don't just change our clothing. We don't just change the way we talk. We don't just change where we go. We got to change our thinking, because the only thing that is stopping us from being what God wants us to be is how we think.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we're going to. So it, with that being said, in order for your mind to be renewed, you have to hear something new. So, you know, some of the stuff we're going to talk about today might be a little bit new, but your radio program is called Kingdom Sounds.
Yeah.
And so the kingdom is sending out a new sound. It's not new in the sense of that it's never been heard, but it's new to this generation, because in order for Jesus to come, you know, he has to be equally yoked to a bride, which means his bride's got to be like him. You know, you and I have talked before, you know, when you're cutting my hair,
right?
You know, if Jesus were to come today, he'd be yoked to a 5-year-old still playing in the sandbox, because we don't think like him yet. Yeah. So just let everybody know, you might hear some stuff this morning, but just think, you know, before you scream heresy or whatever, just open your heart and open your mind up to hear something different, and then just let the Holy Ghost just talk to you about it. Amen. All right. So that's kind of like my preface. So, all right, let's go ahead and get started. We're talking about now. let me just give the verses, because I can say this stuff off the top of my head, but let's throw some scripture out there.
Okay.
So that way we can all see where we're coming from.
Where are we going?
We're
going
to start in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let's see. Luke chapter 4. We're going into Jechoniah's, where is that passage? There we, yeah, here we go. So, yeah. So we're going to start at Luke chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 14. Okay. Luke 4, verse 14. I'm reading the New King James Version. It says, so then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So Jesus returned from the wilderness. We all know that when he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and people heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." So now that this man has received God's approval, he goes out into the wilderness, and out into the wilderness, it's just him, God, and the adversary, our enemy. And for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil is just pounding Jesus's mind, not attacking his body, not attacking his mind. If you're the Son of God, prove it. If you're the Son of God, prove it. If you're the Son of God, prove it. Jesus overcame that temptation because Jesus knew who he was. Mm-hmm. Jesus knew who he was.
Right.
So because he knew who he was, I don't have to prove anything to you because I know who I am. Mm-hmm. So now that Jesus passed that test, he comes back, like the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. He begins teaching in synagogues everywhere. Everywhere he went, he was being glorified. God was being glorified by what he was teaching. So in verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, Isaiah is 66 chapters long. Of all the places that he went straight to this. He handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then it says in verse 20, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all who bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" We'll stop right there. So Jesus reads the book, the prophecy from Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 60 or 61. One of those two chapters. Read both. They're awesome. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do all of these supernatural, amazing things." Right. Then he closes the scroll and then sits down. And it says all eyes were fastened on him. Little side note. The reason why all eyes were fastened on him is because back in those times, the synagogues didn't have chairs. It's like when people came in, they either stood along the walls to hear the teaching or they sat on the floor. The synagogue only had two chairs. Okay, one chair was for the high priest and the other chair was empty. So in case the Messiah ever came, that's where he would sit. So when Jesus stood up to read, he closed the scrolls and sat down, and he sat down. It says specifically, he sat down. And all eyes were pointed on him because he sat down. Where did he sit down? He sat down in the chair. And then he's sitting there in his chair after reading that verse, and says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
That's good.
And the way the Lord showed that to me is it's fulfilled in your hearing, meaning not just you hearing it, but the way you hear it. Because the people that heard it in the synagogue, the first thing they said is, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Almost like trying to discredit him. Like, you know, we've known this dude since he was a kid. What you mean the scripture's fulfilled today? So they tried to discredit him. One thing my spiritual papa, Rick Manis, hello, sir, out there, wherever you are, used to always say that when the word of God comes, people who oppose it can't discredit the words, so they try to discredit the messenger.
They always try
to discredit the person that sends it. So they were trying to discredit Jesus because they were familiar with him.
That's good.
That's why the Bible says when Jesus came to Nazareth, he could not do mighty works in there.
Because of their unbelief.
Yeah, because of their unbelief. And the unbelief came from the fact that they've known Jesus since he was a child.
Yeah.
So, you know, this kid used to play with my children. You know, he used to come over to the house and, you know, spend the night with my
familiar.
Kids. Right. They were familiar. So we know the next passage. Jesus gave some verses they didn't like.
Let me hit something right there.
Go ahead.
You were talking about hearing. I've come to find out there's a difference between hearing and listening. Jesus
yes,
said
it
that
is.
He who has ears to hear, everybody's not hearing. Now, I've come to find out that I could sit there and I could be playing on my telephone and the television could, you know, be on, and I'm listening, but I'm not hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening. I hear the sound that's coming from the television, but I'm not really hearing what it's saying. And you hit that right on the nose, because a lot of times we're not hearing. You know, sometimes I believe we're hearing things with our natural ears so much than with our spiritual ears anyway, mm-hmm. you know. But we're not hearing. And sometimes we don't have the ability to hear because we don't have the capacity to hear. We're so full of cares. Come on. We're so full of what the world has said.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The information that we have received from the, you know, first and second heavens instead of the third heaven, that we've kind of built up a wall. Come on. Mm-hmm. And then when truth hits this wall, you know, it kind of bounces off of this wall because we got to process it. You know, when you look in the Bible say that they would reason away. Come on. They would be reasoning away the truth. And there are sometimes we reason away the truth. There are times that we don't have the capacity to receive the truth. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important that we begin to, in the body of Christ, to ask God to empty us. Empty us. The reason why we don't ask God to empty us is because we like us. Come on. Okay. We like what's in us. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And so we don't want to say
woo.
Empty. Yeah.
Go
we don't want to say we don't want to say empty me. Come on. Because when you say God empty me, then God can put more of himself in you, so that when people see you, they'll see more of God and less of you. Go ahead, man.
Absolutely. I'm just going to springboard off of that right in here. When you talked about walls and we strong, boom, second, we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse number 3. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to go and get started. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Verse 4. "Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." When you were talking about how we like us and like we have to empty our mind, instantly went to this here. Mm. Paul said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. Well, what's a stronghold? First of all, he says what it is. Thoughts and imaginations that have exalted, that have lifted themselves up against the knowledge of God. It's walls. It's thought patterns. Actually, if you look in the Greek, that thoughts and imaginations says patterns of reasoning.
That's good.
You know those thought patterns. Okay, good example. You know how like when people quote unquote get triggered now? It's like, you know, you'll talk about a subject, and then as soon as you touch a certain subject, all of a sudden they get extremely defensive because they have a list.
Yeah.
They've got these thought patterns
in
their head that instantly when you touch that subject, they get triggered. The deflector shields go up like in Star Trek for all you nerds out there like I am. You know, and what he says is that those thought patterns lift themselves up against the knowledge of God. So the way that you're thinking is preventing you from receiving the knowledge of God.
I got.
And so what happens is that, you know, because of things that go on in life, you know, first of all, those thought patterns are like a wall of defense to protect yourself. But if you don't allow the word of God to come in and renew your thinking, those thoughts become a prison.
Yeah.
Now you're trapped that way. Okay. So now going back to that, you know, being transformed by the renewing of your mind and what Jesus talked about today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was telling a people, God had been promising for nearly 4,000 years from Adam and Eve that he was going to send someone to basically set right what Adam and Eve destroyed in the garden.
Right.
Okay. When God created man, he created a creature that was like him in flesh and blood. Okay. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." God created everything with his mouth. The only thing he didn't create with his mouth was man. He took his time and he formed mankind with his hands.
Right.
Drew him out, formed him out, shaped him, breathed into him the breath of life, and then Adam became a living soul. Man became a living soul. And when they betrayed God by disobeying him, all of that was destroyed, broken. Paul said in Romans chapter 4, I believe, Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 5, he said, because of one man's disobedience, sin came into the earth, and death came because of sin. But because of one man's obedience, the free gift of righteousness has been given to all. So everything that Jesus has been doing is to reset all of creation back to what it was in the garden, which means our thinking has to go back to what it was in the garden.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Going back to the message of now. Excuse me.
Well, you're preaching better than the choir. Amen.
Jesus,
you said our thinking has to go back to what it was
in the garden.
In the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm amazed sometimes, man of God, when I see people working three or four jobs, and I tell folks what God called work is speaking. Come on, Adam didn't have to, you know, work from the sweat of his, I mean, Adam, he didn't sweat until he sinned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then God says, you're going to work from the sweat of your brow.
Mm-hmm.
So the man wasn't sweating. So what was he doing? He was created in the image and likeness of God. He
absolutely.
Was like God. Come
yes.
on. And so, in other words, he only had one, what do you call it, somebody that sets an example for you. You only had
one paragon.
One example.
One example.
One person that set an example for him. I don't know what that paragon word.
Paragon means a standard of excellence.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He only had one example, paragon, and that was God. And so, guess what? He didn't have a bunch of rakes. He didn't have any shovels. Oh, glory to God. He just spoke it. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. And see, this is where you have to allow your mind to go there.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says that before sin, there was no death in the world.
Right.
There was no, you didn't need a rake because leaves didn't fall off trees.
All right. Now you're preaching.
Because leaves falling off trees is death.
Right.
Okay. There was no such thing as death. There literally was no such thing as death. So all of that changed when Adam and Eve, or Adam, because the Bible says in Genesis that God called them both Adam. Adam changed her name to Eve in a resentful type feeling. But anyway, so Jesus said today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the scriptures he's saying is, I'm anointed to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, preach the good news to the poor. Today it starts. The reason why Jesus said today it starts is because Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The reason why things happen in the now is because in the kingdom of God, there is power to make it happen in the now.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's no need to wait if you live in the kingdom, because the kingdom is now. I was going to start with Exodus chapter 3, but you can take your time and read that on your own. In Exodus chapter 3, when you know, the burning bush happens, Moses goes to see what's going on, and then God says, stop, you know, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. He said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to deliver my people.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the cries of my people, and I'm sending you to Pharaoh. And Moses is like, who am I that I can go to Pharaoh? You know, who am I? Okay. Pharaoh was Moses' half-brother. Well, adopted brother. It's not that Pharaoh was up here and Moses was down here. No, actually, the reason why Pharaoh was Pharaoh is because Moses skipped town. If Moses hadn't skipped town, he would have been Pharaoh. But he ran for his life. And so when Ramses died, I'm sorry, when Pharaoh died, the other son took over. But anyway, Moses said, God said, I'm sending you to a people that don't know my name. Moses says, when I go, who am I going to say sent me? God said, you tell them I am that I am sent you. Take a look at that name. God says, tell them that I am sent you. I am. Am is present tense.
Mm-hmm.
God is saying, you tell them that now has sent you.
That's good.
God's name is now.
That's good.
And if you just let that just get in your thinking, God's name, his name is now. So if God's name is now, and he sent his son in the power of the Spirit to say today is the scriptures fulfilled, then there's no such thing as wait in the kingdom. There's no such thing as wait in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at why Jesus came, I mean, think about it. God had been promising since Adam and Eve, I'm going to send a deliverer. I'm going to send someone. In almost every book in the Bible, Old Testament, you will see a prophecy somewhere of God saying, someone's coming. Someone's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's coming. For 4,000 years, God was saying, someone's coming. Jesus is born. The high priest, not the high priest, one of the priests in the temple, Simeon, the one that Joseph and Mary brought to dedicate, Simeon recognized by the Spirit who he was.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, I almost cry, because it's like, this man has been dedicating babies for years, and all of a sudden a baby's put in his arms, and somehow he recognizes this is him.
Yeah.
And then he says, now I can die in peace because I have held the salvation of Israel. So if Jesus is coming to establish the kingdom of God, nothing about the kingdom is later. Everything has to be now. That's why in Jesus' ministry, every time he prays, something happened. Every time he prays, something happened. There was no such thing as waiting in the kingdom of God, because there's no need to wait in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom is of God, and nothing about God says wait. Literally nothing. God ain't got to wait for nothing, because he can do anything.
Yeah.
Because his power is unlimited. His power is literally unlimited. And so the problem is, religious tradition has trained Christians for the past 1,700 years that praying and nothing happening is normal. So that when something happens, we're almost shocked by it. We call it a miracle. But in the kingdom of God, it's not a miracle. When you're walking in the now word, it's not a miracle. It's normal. It's normal. And the problem is, our thinking has been so warped by religious tradition over the past 1,700 years that the idea of praying and then nothing happening and then smiling anyway, we call that Christianity.
Right.
That's not Christianity. That's religion. Okay? Every religion prays and then waits for something to happen. So how can we have a better covenant established upon better promises? How can we say we worship the one true God, the one true living God? All the other gods are dead. Uh-huh. All the other gods are not real gods. They're just little statues that men have carved with their hands and sharp knives and stuff. How can we say we worship the one true living God when all the other religions pray and wait, and then we pray and wait?
You kind of reminded me about the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Mm.
Oh, glory to God. He was waiting for 38 years. It kind of reminds me sometimes when we have... preachers that are always ending their sermons telling you to hold on, you know, right? And it's like, okay, after 38 years, you should be tired of holding on. You should be losing your grip. Sometimes we need to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory to God. But here he was. As a matter of fact, he was looking, hallelujah, down the road. He was looking for a season or a time when the angel would come and stir the water. He was, as a matter of fact, he was waiting. The Bible says he was, you know, that they would wait on that particular season. He was waiting on somebody to put him in the pool. He says, by the time, you know, I'm waiting on a man. And then he says, by the time I get there, come on. Oh, glory to God. So he was also, he was focused on time, getting there in time. And so sometimes we're waiting and the now is standing before us. You know, God is standing before us. When you were saying that, I got to thinking about that, because guess what? After 38 years, oh, glory to God. What? No, he said, as a matter of fact, he had a dialogue with Christ. I'm waiting for, I'm waiting. Well, glory to God. We just cancel your waiting. And sometimes I hear people say, I'm believing God for a vehicle, but as soon as I get this raise, no, your faith is not now. Your faith is in you getting the raise, but some kind of way with your twisted thinking, you're thinking that you're believing God, but really you're looking to the raise. Come on, you're looking to your wallet. Go ahead. I just want to throw that in.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You're looking for the circumstances to line up first before something happens.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what we don't understand is that in the kingdom of God, once we understand who we are in Christ, we cause the circumstances to line up. Yeah. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then it says, for by faith we know that God created the heavens with faith. All these people had all these miracles by faith. And the thing is, once again.
So you said, because sometimes our faith is not in the now.
No.
That's good.
And you know what? And you know what you have when faith is not in the now? You have hope. Yeah. Honestly, that's the only difference. Hope is expecting something to happen. The difference between hope and faith is this. Hope is expecting something to happen. Faith makes it happen. That's the difference.
So I'm getting this. He's a right now God. Mm-hmm. But then I believe God also honors faith. So sometimes we're not even operating in now faith. Because when you look at Mary and Martha, they were looking down the road. As a matter of fact, they said, if you only had been here and the now was in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so... And so sometimes, and so really, it almost looks like God has to redirect their faith. He says, "I am the resurrection."
Right.
So now He's redirecting their faith into a now God,
mm-hmm.
a right now God. Oh, glory to God! Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this kind of a side thing because you know this whole now message. This is something that God's been dealing with me about, honestly, for the past 20 years. You know, just little bit here, a little bit there, because you know, because this is a mind change. This is not just hearing something new and going, whoo. I mean, right. this has got to change everything. Right. When you get this literally transforms everything in your life. There's a book written by a preacher named John Avanzini. It's called Unanswered Prayers Answered. And I've had the book since like 2000. Never read it from start to finish, but I had it. I just felt to read the book. So I started reading it. And John Avanzini started talking about scandals in the church. You know, because, you know, back in the 80s and all the scandals. Then he said this. He said the greatest scandal in the church is not when the pastor cheats on his wife or like when the deacon split the church. The greatest scandal in the church is when a Christian prays and nothing happens. So we'll stop there.
I tell you what, we're gonna stop right there, and we're gonna, you know, pick up with that for Tuesday. Praise the Lord. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. We thank God for the people that are listening in. We see that there's an Amber Alert. All right. Well, God bless you. And sorry about the, you know, we just kind of ran over. We're turning you back over into the hands of Brother Danny. We'll make the announcement at some other time. All right. God bless.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Address is 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. John's the author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament commentary series. Well, now a passage from Matthew chapter 6. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It records Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. Well, it's common to hear Christians recite that prayer word for word during a church service or some other setting. John, was that what Jesus had in mind? You know, reciting the prayer verbatim.
Well, hardly, Denny. In fact, that is the opposite of what our Lord had in mind. It's fine to memorize Scripture, and it's certainly fine to memorize the disciples' prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, as it's more commonly called. The reason you would memorize it was not so that you could repeat it. Doesn't Jesus say in the same passage to avoid endless repetition of sort of mechanical prayers? Of course he does. But the reason you might want to memorize this one is because our Lord gave the disciples not a prayer to pray, but a framework for every prayer. When you dig deeply into this prayer, you find that every element of it becomes the platform on which you pray in a whole dimension. You start with the kingdom, the glory of the Lord. You work your way down.